Wednesday evening, 12:23:20. We're going to continue on with a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. This is part two of current events in light of God's Word. Now, I start off with, it's always amazing to me. I was talking with our granddaughter today. I said, I teach on Revelation every Wednesday night, and I said, the take the Lord's given me on it, you know, doesn't look much like anything that comes out of the church. You know, I used to believe like everybody else did, you know, we're going to all fly away, and it just didn't ever seem like, it always seemed like whatever happened, there was always an excuse. No, this hadn't happened yet. No, this hadn't happened yet. No, this hadn't happened yet. We were having booms all around us. Look. And we didn't get it. So is it any wonder today that God would be relevant? That He actually would be in the middle of everything that's going on in our world. He's been overseeing this world. He has been watching and looking at men and guiding men for 6,000 years. He's been in the middle of everything. He's a father that's like the scripture says, He looks down on us. He sits on the circle of the earth. He's like a pregnant woman looking down on her belly concerning us. So you think He's really watchful and He cares about everything that's going on with us. So what would a good parent do? A good parent would warn. Not say, well, just go and live your life 6,000 years, whatever, what be will be, que sera, sera. And then one of these days, all these signs are going to show up, then you'll know. We've been living the signs for 6,000 years. I would like to give credit to End Time Ministries for some of the references I'm going to bring tonight. When I first started changing, the Lord started changing my viewpoint from the rapture theory and different things. He was someone that I came across that just had a really good take on some, first time I'd ever, the book of Revelation ever made sense to me. And he just has a lot of historical events that have happened. And he fit them into the scriptures. And I thought, I see it. For the first time, I see it. In fact, I had somebody over my house one day. And they had asked me, is there a rapture? And I said, no. And they were raised, yeah, all their life believing that. And I just sat down and read to her just a passage of scripture. And I said, doesn't it sound just like this event? She said, it really does. It really does. So, the endeavor here is to see what God is doing, but He's gonna show us through where we live. He's showing us through our times. It's not somewhere out there. Somewhere way off. And I was talking to somebody about the Great Reset. Well, sounds like the beginning. I thought, the beginning? This is the end. This is the end. It's the beginning of the new age, but it's the end of this carnage, this cannibalistic, pedophile, crazy, lunatic, renegade spirit. It's His end. That's wonderful news. You know, when you look at it that way, you can say, Lord, I feel privileged to live at this time, in this time, to be able to see. Because everybody thought, Lord, You're going to come in my time. Well, I'm telling you, the people that believe the rapture, He ain't ever coming in their time. Because they don't see, you know, they're looking for, I got to have a sign or I won't believe. We just had one. the fourth phase of the sign of the Son of Man. God's man he put in office to undertake this draining of the swamp. That's the devil we're talking about here. It don't matter whose face is on them, they are Satan's minions. They have sold themselves out to the devil. And he's used men all throughout history to sell out mankind, to harm and to hurt, to push his agenda. Okay. We're going to look at the United States discovered in the Bible. What does end times mean? The end of human government and the beginning of the kingdom of God are the kingdom age. That's where I believe we sit. The kingdom age is 1,000 years of human existence free from satanic influence. It's not I'll fly away, we're going to first have 7 years at a banquet in heaven, and then we're going to, you know, if you read all through Old and New Testament, you will see God's always about his people occupying the earth. That's why he's going to make a new one, a new heaven, new earth. He's about man being on the earth. It never really says anything about us being in heaven except for those that have gone on before, that they have a place there. But then, you know, after the 1,000 years, heaven and earth are going to join. You know, God's heaven and earth is going to come to rest on this earth. All right. Here are some peaks. We're going to look at some peaks. We've looked at them, but we're going to look at them some more. You may need this very soon, because I believe there's going to be a lot of people questioning a lot of things, and they're going to want to know the truth. All right, Isaiah 2. We're just going to get a peek at the kingdom age. Just a few scriptures here. Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Yeah, many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, people could look at all these trade deals that are happening in the Middle East where this hundreds of years been fighting. And now they're all coming to peace. They could look at that and say, you know, that's not going to mean anything. No, this is end time events happening right before us. Why should we be shocked that it would actually look like something of our day? We've had such imaginations about it that nothing fits. That it's going to be a certain way. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Okay, 2-6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. So I've put here pedos. Thinking, boy, Lord, you pegged it. Imagine that. Even back in Isaiah's day, the Lord had it pegged. How it was going to be. Okay, Isaiah 11. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt it nor destroy it on my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar, from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. He shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, we've read that in Revelation many times about the angels gathering his tribes from the four corners of the earth. I was reading something here, and it quickened something to me. I need to go back and look here just a second. Oh. Now, imagine this. You know how it was in the garden before Satan came and did what he did? The whole earth came under an illusion. So, are we going to have some big supernatural something to cause there be nothing that harms or hurts in his holy mountain? I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is we are going to see the way it really is. We're going to know the way it really is because the devil won't be here anymore. He'll be bound. The prince of the power of the air will no longer crowd the airways. It didn't just start with the television, you know, understand? It started when he, you know, tricked the man and the woman in the garden. And that's why I thought, Lord, with all the obstruction out of the air, how's it going to be? Heaven. That's the way it would be. Open communication. We're going to see what's real because we've been under an illusion. Satan's pushed his narrative, and it's fake and it's false. He's fake, phony, and false. Everything he does. What's real is you're already healed. That is what's real. That you already walk in divine health. Everything God says in his word, since the time of Jesus anyway, he took care of the curse. It is real. It is a reality, but we have not been able to see it because we've been blinded. That's what he does. He blinds the minds, it says, of unbelievers, but not just unbelievers. To where everyone believes the system they're under and what the system says. When that's no longer there, we're going to see things the way they really are, probably for the first time in our lives. It's going to be glorious. Okay, Isaiah 25. You know how Paul could shake the serpent off and suffer no ill effects? Because he didn't believe Satan's narrative. He knew that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The devil brought in sin and death. There's only life in God. There is no death. None. All right, 25:6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. What covering is that? And the veil that is spread over all nations. What veil is that? The illusion. Satan's illusion. He's a magician. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces. I'm thinking, ah, bring it on. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. We're going to be amazed. It's like we just woke up and we will see what is real, that our God reigns. And there's few that have broken through in this earthly life that maybe have gone on, but they saw. They could see beyond. They had enough word in them, and God had spoken to them enough, and they got enough revelation to realize, just like Paul, he was one of them. He didn't let what the devil did stop him in any way. Okay, Isaiah 65:20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in leaders and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. I'm reading 66, sorry. It's 65, not 66. But that was a good one. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. I don't know where the one is about the trees, that we will live like trees. Trees live hundreds and hundreds of years. Now you can see why in the time of Adam, Adam was 967 or something like that, I forget. I know Methuselah was 969, wasn't it? Anyway, you can see why. Even though Satan had done what he did, it took a while to deceive everybody. And why they still live those lengthy life spans. I remember hearing, I think it was Charles Capp said, that it took the devil a while to get man to kill himself through his tongue. I mean, if all you knew was God's word, would you die? No. If all you knew was his word, or you'd live a long, long time. Okay. We can see just from these few scriptures that it is a literal reign on earth. Literal. I heard a lady, while I was getting my nails done yesterday, she was talking about, well, what God has prepared for me in heaven is better than anything on this earth. I'm thinking, this is God's plan. Man inherits the earth. That's his plan. Now, heaven is a holding place till all that comes together, but, you know, I'm thinking, we've been so earthly minded, we are no earthly good as a church. And I've been one of them. I'm not casting blame on any individual person. I'm saying I know with myself thinking, well, you know, if God's just going, we're just going to all fly away like the series brought out. We're just all going to just disappear and the earth's just going to go to pot. That's never been God's plan for the earth to just go to pot. Okay. The Lord has spoken to us that it will be the time that where sin abounded, now grace will abound. That it'll be easy. Well, you won't hear anymore. It's just so hard to be a Christian. It's just so hard. You'll hear, it's the easiest thing in the world to be a Christian. Where sin abounded, grace abounds. It'll be so easy. All right. We're going from bad to good and from dark to light. I'm still seeing this all over social media, that term, dark to light. And I was reading a scripture. In fact, let me think about Ephesians. It just hit me whenever I read this the last day or two I was reading. I don't know if it's today or it might have been right here. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. No, I'm wrong. Just a second. Let me see if I can find it here. Well, I'm not seeing it, but I'll find it. May have to bring it Sunday. Well, the scripture actually talks about turning darkness to light. So, anyway. A sure sign that it's happening is the Great Awakening. The end of days was basically under the Old Testament was sealed into the time of the end. That unsealing is the Great Awakening. So we're going to look at that. Daniel 12:9. I said, Lord, how come you have me in the book of Revelation? It was one of those books. I'm Brother Hagin saying, I don't even touch that, you know. That's for them people that God's called to do that. But I never thought I would be teaching it because it just confused me, you know. And so I said, Lord, you know, why you got me in this? He said, because this is the time we live in and people need to know. This is the time of the Great Awakening. We need to wake people up to the fact. It's not somewhere out there. It's now. It's happening now. All right, let me. So I want y'all to, well, this be led of the Lord. He'll lead you to who needs to hear. All right, and people are scared right now. I don't believe they have any reason to be, but they're scared. Daniel 12:9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Okay. What the devil and his deep state swamp rats have subjected humanity to all of our lives. This is what was sealed from our eyes. We were asleep and we didn't see it. We were like sheep led to the slaughter. And really, I think about back when I was a kid, I can remember waiting in line to take the was it the polio vaccine? Yeah. I can remember getting the TB one in school. Yeah. Nobody came against it or did anything about it that I remember. But it's as much of this scheme then, it was as much a scheme then as it is now. Okay, Revelation 5. I mean, it's obvious through just what we're going through now with just the cheating, the voting, and all that kind of stuff, and they've been cheating for 50 years, it's obvious that it isn't just something that just happens one day. Oh, this is end times. Uh-uh. Paul said the end times were in his day. We're talking 2,000 years ago. Okay, 5. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. A few months back when I read this one day, the Lord specifically dropped in my heart the Great Awakening, cue, this is the unsealing. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Something that's interesting, and I am going to order it. It's called the Gospel of Q. Oh, yeah. And it's mainly about the sayings of Jesus. So I'm thinking, that's interesting. The Gospel of Q. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open to read the book, neither to look thereon. There's been no one all these years that could open the book and make any heads or tails out of it or make any sense. They all tried, but it just never seemed to jive with me. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's just too confusing. So John said he wept much because there seemed to be no one to open the book. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. The head of the church is the one who is revealing, opening the seals, revealing his revelation. Isn't that fitting, revelation? It means disclosure. So Jesus is the one that's bringing disclosure. All right, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. On the earth. We shall reign as kings on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 5,000 or 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever. So we began to see the seals open. And I saw, chapter 6, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal. See, these four spirits have influenced men for wickedness. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon it to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Just think about it as I read these, the influence that these spirits have had on the earth. Because humanity has been groaning, being slaughtered, being taken advantage of. I mean, there's been slavery throughout the 6,000 years somewhere, all the time. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Think about Obama. He was Muslim. He armed ISIS against us. This wasn't some Middle East radical group. This was from our own CIA. That's what he came to do. He was sent of Satan. This pale spirit, it's really green. Islam, everything's green. And when it opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is the damage, the carnage. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, and to their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Okay. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Y'all realize all this has come to pass? The blood moons, the stars in the heavens, the signs. They fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts their untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So we see here, that's the draining of the swamp. Okay. In the opening of the seals, the four spirits are revealed that influence the whole earth for evil since the fall in the garden. Satan became the god of this world, and he has wasted no time in doing so. All right, now let's go to Zechariah chapter 6. We're going to see the same horseman. We get a little more clarity. And I turned, verse 1, and lifted up mine eyes, and look, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, in the second chariot black horses, the third chariot white horses, the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses, which are the same as the pale. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country. The white go forth after them. The grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get ye hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. So the four influencing spirits, white horse, Catholicism. I don't even remember. I've got it in my notes of how many thousands and thousands of people have died at the hands of the Jesuits. Not just them. There's other groups within the Catholic Church. The red horse is communism. We already know about the different communist regimes and millions of people that have been killed. Black horse is capitalism. That's why we have the corruption here. The love of money is the root to all evil. See, that's not God's system or God's way. It's just as evil. Pale horse is Islamism. It's grown bigger and bigger and bigger. All right, the opening of the fifth seals, the many that have been slain from the influence of these spirits, the opening of the sixth seal reveals the draining of the swamp. And I just read that to you. How will this happen, you might be asking yourself. I know that God has raised up Donald John Trump to drain the swamp, but he has an army behind him, and it's not the natural military, but God's spiritual warriors and the angels that are taking down these strongholds that have been in place since the fall of man and Satan took over. So that's what God has been having us do by making those confessions. And, you know, I hope you're writing it down when something's answered, writing it down on the sheet so that you know, yeah, we took down that stronghold. We're like David or Gideon or whoever. We had their strongholds that we have taken down because we have remained faithful to do this. God has awakened us and sealed us for this great end time battle, the Battle of Armageddon. It's not for our harm. The Battle of Armageddon is not for our harm. It's to take down the deep state, the swamp. And this is where a lot of people, Christians especially, get scared because they have always been led to believe that we're the ones who are going through all the bad stuff. And I'm thinking, why did we believe such a silly thing? That doesn't make sense at all. But if you believe, well, we're all going flying away and, you know, up there, then I guess you could believe that. But it's not scripturally based. All right, it's not for our harm. And I read to you about the draining of the swamp, didn't I? Didn't I read 7? No. Let me turn back to Revelation. I'm still in Zechariah. Yeah, I read to you chapter 7. Yeah. We can see that. They run for their bunkers, trying to hide out. You can't hide. It's really amazing that all the people you used to see, stars, Hollywood stars, even sports stars, it's silence. Mm-hmm. They haven't tweeted for 6 months. They nothing. Wonder where they are. Are they hiding out in their bunkers? Are they already at Gitmo? I don't know. Okay. All right, verse 7, I read that to you. All right, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all the nations. I told you that I thought that I kind of changed my view on that, those are the ones that have gone on. A lot of them were slain under this ungodly system. I think they're the ones that are observing us. Hebrews 12:1 talks about the great cloud of witnesses. Yeah, I think that's them. All right, then we began to see in chapter 8, we began to see all the crimes against humanity. We already know that all the wars have been financed and paid for. We know World War II, that Ford Company paid for the engines and the tanks of the Nazis. What do you call that, war profiteering, or whatever you call that, where they finance both sides because war is big money? And you know, they're having a big trouble right now because they're used to wars. The generals, the war hawks, they don't like Trump because he's peace. They want to fight all the time and keep the war machine going because it's big bucks for them. They make money. Carnage, sending our sons and our daughters to die. That's what they've done for centuries. I know for sure all the wars that's probably happened since we've been alive. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's just read Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So once you're awakened, the trumpets are sounding the alarm. Look what they've been doing to you. Look what they've been doing to you. Get a clue. They're trying to kill you. The first trumpet sounded, there was followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, this is where I was giving credit to Irvin Baxter, and he's done research for many, many years on this. He believes that this is, I think he could put a lot of false flags in these, but he believes it's World War I because they practiced the scorched earth policy, which all the wars have done that, but that's where they really started implementing it, where they would go in and just burn everything and rape the land of resources and just leave it a desolation. And then the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. He believed this was World War II because a third of all ships, were destroyed. You know, Pearl Harbor, most of our ships were right there in that small harbor. Not all of them, but nearly all of them. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called wormwood. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Wormwood, actually, Chernobyl means wormwood, so the nuclear disaster. There are people still suffering today from that disaster. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. He mentioned that he thought possibly that was the Gulf War. Just simply because, like I told you, I looked online at some pictures of, like, I think it was Dubai. It looked like midnight at 12 o'clock noon. So, you know, we can think literally. See, we think, oh, this, you know, you're not seeing the stars blacked out and falling and all that. Well, you know, you have to understand, John was seeing a vision. And he was trying to make heads or tails of what he was seeing. And the fourth angel said, okay, 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So he's warning us. They just get worse. They just get worse. Chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star far from heaven unto the earth, and it was, and he was, and him was given the key of the bottomless pit. That's where Satan's going to be bound. That's what these portals that they open up, that they've infiltrated the earth, these entities. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So he's telling us here, this is what they've done to you with all these wars. This is these pits. This is where the child and human trafficking is going on. Mm-hmm. It's all being done underground, right under your feet, and you didn't even know it. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Personally, this is my belief, and we'll keep reading here, and I'll tell you. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. What's the Lord been talking to us about? It's the chariot wheels coming off, their chariots. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This is what I think about it. Corona is their crown jewel. It's their crown jewel, because that's what corona means. It means crown. And I believe what they're doing is going to turn around on them. It already is. Mm-hmm. The reset's being taken out. But I that's what I think. You know, we'll see. I don't pretend to know all of it, but that's what I think. Okay, Satan was kicked out of heaven. He's so angry that he has declared war on the earth. There's no big revelation there. But God has made a way for us to overcome this siege on humanity. And I believe we're at the very end. And, you know, I was telling Danny, I was listening to V with 107 yesterday. And he was saying himself, I mean, he just flat out called who we're fighting is Satan. And that we're at the end. He just called who we're fighting. He said, it's the deep state, but you can just call it who it is. It's Satan. And he was just telling the listeners, he said, you know, people don't realize if that puppet, minion, clone, whatever he is, got in, there will not be another election. There won't be anything. There would not be. That's how serious it is. And I said, how can people not be aware that this is the end? When people like that that are not your regular, like I said, probably not regular staunch churchgoers type of, you know, Christians we're used to being around. They even perceive it. They even say it. And they're right on the front lines and they're seeing what's going on. How could you perceive it any other way? I don't know. I don't see. All right, Revelation 12. All right, we just saw the culmination of this in the heavens. This is this chapter right here. These four stages of the conception, basically the birth, then the one on the throne overtaking Satan. That's what happened. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. See, John has seen signs in the heavens. There's another book called The Gospel in the Stars I am going to get. Because God did send stars to show signs of what's happening. It's been right there. You know, all the pyramids are supposedly laid out just like the stars. All the tunnels. They know where the tunnels are because they see the star maps. So for thousands of years, all of them, I mean, Daniel taught the wise men, or taught the wise men of his day about the Messiah. And there was a certain cycle, I think it was the seventh cycle of this particular star, that they would know by that seventh cycle, Messiah is going to be born. So God has used the stars to teach his people. We think it's silly. They've demonized it through astrology, making it sound like, you know, oh, you don't touch that. Well, you don't touch astrology. But astronomy is a wholly different thing. God put the stars there, the sun and the moon. I was talking to Jackie about it. It was a saying that we say, you'll just never know or something similar to that. Well, that came from the Jews used the moon. So they never know what day. You never know the day or the hour. You'll never know the day or the hour because every month it's a different day. And I thought, hey, we thought it meant one thing. And I thought, when I heard that, I thought, well, that makes perfect sense. We take it and make some stupid something out of it, you know? But God, he tells them, you watch the moon. And when the moon is a certain way, that's when you start your whatever it is they do. Maybe it's their Sabbath. It probably isn't that. But anyway, I need to study that and kind of see. All right. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. See, this is a constellation. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This happened November the 9th, the day after President Trump was proclaimed the winner of the presidential election. This first phase started. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we know this happened. Herod was trying to kill Jesus. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up to God and to his throne. We know he's death, burial, and resurrection. Now he's sitting with the Father. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand the days and the numbers of these. I don't. So I'm not going to pretend to say that I do. But there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the hill, or of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So that's the day we find ourselves in. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. I didn't realize it, but I'm really through with the book of Jasher. In the book of Jasher, it brings out that every woman from Eve thought that they might birth the Messiah. You know, I'm thinking, well, I guess that would make sense. You're an Israelite, you know, that you might be the one that would carry the holy seed. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That be us. So he's been making war with God's people all these many thousands of years. We're at the very end. They are at their crowning moment. See, this was to be the big kahuna for them. Their crowning glory. In fact, there's another constellation that shows, I don't know the technical names of it, but he has a crown on his head and there's a serpent trying to get the crown. So I'm going, that's cool. Corona means crown. This is the final move of the beast to totally enslave the whole earth. It's what he's trying to do. Plain and simple. Okay, I want to read this letter again. I'll just read it all. It's not too long. This was the letter from this Archbishop to President Trump. Allow me to address you at this hour. This was October 25th, 2020, in which the fate of the whole world is being threatened by a global conspiracy against God and humanity. I write to you as an archbishop, as a successor of the apostles, as the former apostolic nuncio of the United States of America. I'm writing to you in the midst of the silence of both civil and religious authorities. May you accept these words of mine as the voice of one crying in the desert. As I said when I wrote my letter to you in June, this historical moment sees the forces of evil aligned in a battle without quarter against the forces of good. Forces of evil that appear powerful and organized as they oppose the children of light, who are disoriented and disorganized, abandoned by their temporal and spiritual leaders. Daily we sense the attacks multiplying of those who want to destroy the very basis of society, the natural family, respect for human life, love of country, freedom of education and business. We see heads of nations and religious leaders pandering to this suicide of Western culture and its Christian soul. While the fundamental rights of citizens and believers are denied in the name of a health emergency that is revealing itself more and more fully as instrumental to the establishment of an inhumane, faceless tyranny. So Corona's the crown. Satan's crown. A global plan called the Great Reset is underway. Its architect is a global elite that wants to subdue all of humanity, imposing coercive measures with which to drastically limit individual freedoms and those of entire populations. In several nations, this plan has already been approved and financed. In others, it is still in an early stage. Behind the world leaders who are the accomplices and executors of this infernal project, there are unscrupulous characters who finance the World Economic Forum and Event 201, promoting their agenda. The purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures hidden behind tempting promises of ensuring a universal income and canceling individual debt. The price of these concessions from the International Monetary Fund will be the renunciation of private property, in adherence to a program of vaccination against COVID-19 and COVID-21. See, it'll never be enough. The devil's a leech, and it'll never be enough. First, it's, well, you'll just have to take one. And no, they're already saying the vaccine, well, if you take it, you can't quit wearing your mask. It may be a year before you can take it off. It's like, first we go to a 2-week lockdown, and now we're still in this mess. This is the way it is. And they'll push it and push it and push it until you are nothing but a robot. That's the way the devil is. COVID-19 and COVID-21 promoted by Bill Gates with the collaboration of the main pharmaceutical groups. Beyond the enormous economic interests that motivate the promoters of the Great Reset, the imposition of the vaccination will be accompanied by the requirement of a health passport and a digital ID, with the consequent contact tracing of the population of the entire world. Those who do not accept these measures will be confined in detention camps or placed under house arrest, and all their assets will be confiscated. Now you know why they hate the president so much. He is standing between. Mr. President, I imagine that you're already aware that in some countries the Great Reset will be activated between the end of this year and the first trimester of 2021. Well, I think it might be starting, you think? For this purpose, further lockdowns are planned, which will be officially justified by a supposed second and third wave of the pandemic. You're well aware of the means that have been deployed to sow panic and legitimize draconian limitations on individual liberties, artfully provoking a worldwide economic crisis. In the intentions of its architects, this crisis will serve to make the recourse of nations to the Great Reset irreversible, thereby giving the final blow to a world whose existence and very memory they want to completely cancel. But this world, Mr. President, includes people, affections, institutions, faith, culture, traditions, and ideals. People and values that do not act like automatons. See, I told you, it's like robots. Who do not obey like machines, because they are endowed with a soul and a heart, because they are tied together by a spiritual bond that draws its strength from above. From that God that our adversaries want to challenge, just as Lucifer did at the beginning of time with his, whatever that word is, I don't know. I don't need to go on anymore. You get the point. We are in the end of days, whether we like it or not. It's a hard pill to swallow. Okay, I'm nearly done. All right, in chapter 9, you can read it this week, Satan is overthrown. It's when the angel's standing on the land and the sea. And I believe it's the transfer from Admiralty Maritime Law to Jusera Nacera. And we'll have our republic restored. This is where we're going. This is where 2021, the restoration will begin. I believe it'll be the restoration of our republic.